This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Later tonight, Pistons playoff basketball in the city of Detroit.
All right.
How about that?
It's here.
Huge game. Would you go as far as to say the winner of tonight wins the series?
I think so. I really do. I think it sets a tone because I know that series is tied 1-1. That's the facts. The other facts are the players know what's happened on the court. They have that feeling of the Pistons players having won 7 of the 8 quarters, only 1 of the 2 games, but 7 of the 8 quarters. They learned a lot from that first game. It showed when they took the court Monday night. It showed when they got to the fourth quarter Monday night. They could have let that slip away just like they did on Saturday. They didn't let that happen. They learned their lesson. It doesn't mean you can't make new mistakes, but at least they didn't make the same mistake. Now I think if they go into this game at home and control it for 4 quarters, New York is going to be reeling.
Knicks are in trouble. Before the game starts, if the Pistons win this game at home and grab a 2-1 series lead, it's over.
You could say all you want. That was pretty bold.
Was it?
It's just over.
Well, you said the same thing. I just said the same thing you said. Now I'm going to get villainized if they blow this, but like I really think, John, they were going to win the series when we started this whole deal.
So did I. I thought in 6, games. You thought in 7.
Yeah, I've thought through 2 games they've been the better basketball team, and if they confirm it for a 3rd straight game and carry that momentum back home, because here's the other key, John, I think tonight's game is going to be poorly officiated. I'm just going to put that out there. If they win a poorly officiated makeup game, where Brunson's getting all the calls from the first quarter to the fourth quarter and the Pistons still win the game, you got no more bullets in the chamber. The Knicks are in super, like they're in mega trouble at that point, John.
I don't necessarily know what's going to be poorly officiated because there were a lot of people that called out Thibodeau or at least recognized, hey, you could say this after the game before you know what the actual numbers are. But when you take a look at the numbers, you take a look at the fouls, you take a look at the free throws, you take a look at all of it, and on top of that, the way that Jalen Brunson plays, it's no secret around the NBA that he is foul hunting.
Yes.
And I just don't believe, I got to give a little bit more credit to, one, the NBA, but also officials, that they're not going to succumb to a false narrative.
But we see when a coach goes out and crows publicly, and we make fun of him, there is an overcorrection.
I don't think Brunson is an elite level star. Like if you hear it from the Lakers, right, and it's Luka or it's LeBron, then all of a sudden, I could see that being. But I don't think Brunson's on that level.
So we'll open up the phone lines. True or false? Winner of tonight wins the series. And then more specifically, what are the keys to this game? The things that will decide who wins game 3 at Little Caesars Arena.
I think the Pistons has to keep doing what they've been doing. We heard it from JB when we opened the show. He's not upset with the officiating. Hey, we desire a physical brand of basketball. So bring it on.
One thing to watch, Isaiah Stewart, will he play? Knee inflammation, questionable. Heart and soul, interior defense. The Knicks don't shoot a lot of threes. If you can win at the rim, it's a big deal. If this game turns into a foul fest where the Pistons are throwing their hands up, you got to keep your composure.
And I think an interesting wrinkle for JB Bickerstaff might be throwing Ron Holland out there on Brunson for a stretch and go, we don't need this guy to play 20 minutes.
We just need six fouls.
Use your six fouls. Hound this dude.
Yeah.
I don't need a Sar Thompson to foul out. So if that means I got to throw Ron Holland on him for 6 minutes in the second quarter,
yeah,
so be it. We're going to make Brunson. And the other thing is make Brunson work on defense. I know they've been doing it, but I would be deliberate about it. Hunt him. Who's he on? When you're in the half court, try to get the switch. Try to punish Brunson. Make him move his feet. Make him work hard because it might mean he doesn't have the step later in the game. I expect Karl Anthony Towns to be more involved. He was a ghost in the second half of that game in game two. You're going to have to withstand him because I think he's got the edge when he goes down low on Tobias Harris. But that's why if Isaiah Stewart's in there and Jalen Duren's playing, you can throw bodies at him. I think those are some keys for tonight.
Yeah, and if Stewart's there, it's another body. I think you continue to use Paul Reed as such, you know, 8, 9, 10. He had 11 minutes the other night. Ron Holland, to your point, a few more minutes, you get a few more fouls. You know, Dennis Schroeder. I love the way that he has added to this team, the minutes that he provides this team. Now, I think one of the keys, Malik Beasley is going to have to shoot better. And I don't think, I only say that because he didn't shoot well for one night. I don't think it's a trend. I don't think it's what he's going to be, but he does need to be better than 1 of 8 behind the arc.
And Hardaway Jr. was 0 of 6 right from behind the arc. If you get one of those guys, and Beasley the more likely of the two, he's the better knockdown shooter. One of those guys emerges, and the Pistons are going to be in a driver's seat position in this game tonight. Because if those shots are falling, instead of having that 10, 11, 12, 13-point lead, you could try to blow the doors off. Like, that is the other thing. That is possible tonight. Coming home, knocking down shots, the Knicks not having the crowd at their back for the fourth quarter to try to claw back. I mean, is there a world where the Pistons win this game without, you know, those tense moments in the final 4 or 5 minutes?
Yeah.
I think that's in play.
So I think there's one thing I would desperately love to see, and I'll get to that in a moment. But it's on JB as well. One, how are you preparing the guys with these off days? You're playing at home. How do you get them to control their emotions, but yet still come out with that fire in their belly to, you know, pick up where they left off? But it's also going to be him utilizing the bench. And it's not just, you know, hey, let's get some more minutes for Ron Holland. It's how, when, and how. Because we've talked about it throughout the series. We talked about it going into the series. The Knicks don't utilize their bench. They have played their stars have played the most minutes of anybody in the NBA. You get to the fourth quarter and it will wear on them. It felt like it wore on them on Monday night. Now, the one thing that I would love to see is, because Jalen Brunson had 5 fouls on Monday.
I didn't even realize it. That's sneaky. I didn't even realize.
He gets that 6th.
Oh, there's.
And I want every Detroit Piston to hold up 5 fingers and 1 thumb. Whoever that 6th foul would come against, please hold up 6. Please.
Yes.
That would be unbelievable.
248-539-9797.
LCA would go nuts.
There's so many little things that beyond like the X's and O's and the matchups and the X factors. There's so much more about this game because of the crowd, because of the Thundersticks and the whatever the special intros are going to be tonight. This should be a raucous environment at Little Caesars Arena. This is the biggest Pistons game they've played since 2008. I mean, they haven't won a playoff game since 2008. They've never been in this position to take control and win a series the way a win tonight would put them in that position.
So I think you're right about tonight and blowing off the doors and the energy and the crowd and all that. That's all great. This could be a moment for the Pistons. None of that matters on Sunday. And so your true or false of the series is over if they win tonight? I don't believe that. I've thought all along this thing would be 2-2 and that the Pistons would win tonight for the reasons you said. And then Sunday doesn't set up well for them. You will not match that same environment Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock. So all that goes away, and guess who's back is against the wall? The Knicks.
Yep.
So I just think I think we fall into this trap in sports of just thinking the home team's gonna win. Winning on the road in sports has never been easier in my mind.
Can we point out a couple things about the Knicks, though? Backs against the wall. If this was the Celtics or the Cavaliers, if this was OKC, okay, fine. They're going to rally. Do I think the Knicks are going to rally when their back's against the wall? Part of the case all along has been they're not that good.
I agree with you on that. But the games are a grind, and it seems like this is just a series when whoever's back is against the wall, that's the team that responds, you know? And it's just going to keep... That's why I thought this would be a slugfest. I am not surprised at all how this thing's going. Officiating will matter tonight. I was kind of surprised Thibodeau planted the seed for this game. I thought it was a better play for him to, let's go to game three. Let's see if we can win, but we might have to take our medicine tonight considering they're young. This is new here. This is going to be an environment. And then you plant the seed after this game.
I felt like he didn't think he could wait.
It's a little desperate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was a desperation move. There's no question about it. I think it's dripping in desperation.
Heather Offair says, so when does all this madness begin?
Yeah.
When do I lose Colin?
That's exactly what I wanted to know. It really wasn't when it began, but when, like, am I going to lose Colin to the TV? Like, when is he...
checked out.
Yeah, exactly.
He's present, but not present.
Yeah.
Pistons Knicks start at 7.
Okay.
NFL draft at 8. Lions will pick probably right around 11, a little later maybe.
Yeah, that's 11, perfect. 11:30. Yeah, kids will be in bed.
I'll be fast asleep.
We're going to talk a lot about the draft in the 7 o'clock hour. We're talking Pistons right now. We got open lines. We want to know about tonight's game and what it comes down to. Because the Pistons, if they win, are up 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
Driver's seat. Series over? Question mark. John, you said, yeah, winner tonight wins the series.
Yeah.
I think if the Pistons win tonight, they win the series. If the Pistons lose tonight, they still have the game at home to even things up and drag this out to 7 games.
I felt like, and I said this, Monday night was a must win for the Pistons. If they went down 0-2, I thought there's no chance. I kind of feel this way for the Knicks. This is a must win. If they do, it doesn't. I think the circumstances and consequences are higher for the Knicks right now than they are for the Pistons. The Pistons lose this one. I don't think that this series is over. The Knicks do, and I think it's the first nail in the coffin.
Yeah, paint a picture. The Pistons win. Again, this hypothetical, people get mad at us for proclaiming things. Pistons win tonight, hypothetically. You're up 2-1. Isaiah Stewart's getting healthier. You got game 4 at home. You feel great. You've outplayed them through 3. You feel great about winning game 4. At some point, the Knicks are going to fold here. And if you go back to New York and this is a series where they're facing elimination, that's not a crowd that's going to help the team.
Right.
It's a crowd that's going to hurt the team.
Yeah, if they go back down 3-1.
Even 2-2. Like, what are you doing messing around with this 14-win Pistons team? Like, that's how they view us, right? Oh, we're cute little Caesars Arena. I think the Pistons have shown enough in this series to feel confident in them, but ticket texters get upset with, weirdly, only me. Easy cookies, way too overconfident, let it play out. And good to know Jim is discoing after only 2 games. Now we have no shot. John is also hosting this show with me, saying the same things I'm saying.
Disco every time one of our local teams wins.
I get excited when we win, and I like when we win. And I get confident when we win.
So I did get hit too, but it was had an expletive in it. So
that's why I didn't print it for you.
Well,
I didn't know.
Is that why Sam's in here instead of in there?
Yes.
He's reading the screen.
So I read that same ticket text, and it was... Tom. And I don't know if they were yelling at me, signed Tom, or if they were yelling at you, Tom. But I suppose people can clarify that if they want.
I think it was me. Because
you had the audacity to say the series is going to go on.
Yeah, I think it's very hard for a young team in this spot and their experience to win both these home games. I've seen it time and time again in the NBA. It's almost like the Pistons can have their coronation tonight and everybody can gush and do all that and then come against a veteran team on Sunday afternoon, I don't believe they'll be able to match that. That's how I thought the series. Why would I stray away from what I thought was going to happen to begin the series? I said Knicks in 7, a grind, a 51-49 opinion. Okay? So nothing's changed my mind yet. There's no chatter of disharmony coming out of the Knicks locker room, even though people want to say, oh, what's going on here? And it's 4 players standing around while one play, all this stuff, but you don't hear anything from them. If you hear stuff from them, then everything changes.
If the Pistons win both, then you'll believe?
Without a doubt.
Okay.
But I never thought they would.
Okay. I think get on the same page.
I thought this series was going to go back and forth, and there would never be much more than, you know, maybe somebody went 2 in a row, like the Pistons will, I think, tonight. Like, I think they'll win tonight. It's Sunday that I think presents the challenge.
How do you deal with success?
Yeah.
Yeah. 248-539-9797. Texter says, Disco Jim, I love it. Brian and Canton. Be very careful with that, Brian. Tread very lightly.
Yeah.
Things that this game comes down to, John. I mean, we've hit on a bunch of them. You mentioned Dennis Schroeder.
Mm-hmm.
He's the hero of game 2. hits the big shot in the fourth quarter. I thought it was noteworthy that they played him more in crunch time to help Cade Cunningham. And I don't say that to knock Cade. I think that's just a good, smart coaching adjustment that you take a little pressure off of him. You have more than one guy that can bring the ball up the floor, create his own shot. Schroeder can shoot when he doesn't have the ball. We saw that. And he's been in all these big games in his career. Do you like him in the crunch time lineup?
I do. And part of it is what we talked about on leading into Saturday. The concern was the youth, the inexperience in playoffs. Dennis Schroeder has a lot of playoff experience. And that's part of the reason. Yes, he helps Cade. He can bring the ball up. He could save a little bit of energy for Cade, get him the ball in the half court. Now Cade can go do his thing. I just think there's a number of reasons why you're going to see more Dennis Schroeder throughout the playoffs.
What's the crunch time lineup? It's the final 5 minutes. It's a 5-point game either way. Who are the five Pistons on the floor? Cade.
Oh, certainly Cade.
Schroeder.
I would think so. Malik Beasley.
Okay.
Jalen Duren.
Okay, and then who's the four? Is it Tobias? That means Asar Thompson's not out there.
No, I'd probably say Asar Thompson.
Okay. I like that if I'm the Knicks and Karl Anthony Towns. So that's the chess match.
Right. But again, it's a chess match.
Yeah.
But don't forget, they also have to match up with the Pistons.
Correct. Maybe it depends if you are up five versus down five. Because if I need Asar in the game, close things out. That's the flexibility that JB has, though. He can play the tenor of the game. What's the foul situation? Who do we need to close out? If Brunson's going nuclear, I don't know that I love anybody but Asar Thompson on him in the final couple minutes there.
Right.
And that might mean I have to pick between Beasley or Schroeder. Who's making their shots? Who's more composed? You can feel the game out. But the Pistons have a group of, that's six guys. If Stewart plays tonight or later in the series, seven guys. You start to build that group of seven or eight you need to win an NBA playoff series. Tim Hardaway Jr., if he can knock down a couple shots, that's your eight. Yeah.
I mean, that's another guy that you could throw in there.
And I threw Ron Holland in just for the past
Ron Holland,
minutes.
Paul Reed. Like, there are quality minutes. And you can have eight quality minutes from Paul Reed. And that helps in the fourth quarter. Not that he's the guy, that's where you're going to utilize his minutes. But when you get to the fourth quarter,
the payoff.
It's certainly the payoff that you get from having maybe just a little bit more juice in some of the legs.
Yeah, I think you could put Reed on Townsend stretches if you wanted to. And then you could put Holland on Brunson. Those are the two best Knicks players. And you could call them menace minutes, right? They're not out there to play anything more than a handful of minutes at a time. Just go be a menace. You're out there for defense. Hound people. Make them work. Yeah. Get a steal, a block, energy, a transition bucket.
And we know you pick up a couple of fouls.
Sure,
fine.
Who cares?
I don't care. Just make them worth it.
You got six.
Yeah.
248-539-9797. Texture says, of course I want the Pistons to win. Of course I want the Lions to draft A+. Of course I want the Tigers to be a 600 baseball team in August. Bigger picture, Detroit sports are going buck wild right now. Everybody sit back and enjoy the ride. Kyle in Oxford.
Three of the four are, yeah.
Yes.
So close.
Is Edgerman going to do a postseason press conference? Find out.
It's only Thursday.
I know.
It's another day.
It's been a week since the season ended.
Well, Montreal's down 0-2 to the Caps, so the joke's on them.
Yeah, exactly. What good did it make Montreal to make the playoffs? They're not built for a cup anyway. All right, we'll get to the NFL draft.
Just quick, can I counter that?
Yes.
The Capitals last year made it in, got exposed in the first round, but that experience has now made them the one seed in the East.
Yeah, we were being sarcastic.
Okay. Steve, by the way?
Usually
you do offseason.
Yeah, and he normally does, and he gives a pretty long, candid response after the season. I don't know if things have changed. All right, guys, cookie jar day early this week. Moving stuff around, we'll have AJ Hinch on Friday's show. Cookie jar, we're going to hit on a lot. Pistons, Tigers, the draft, and some general nonsense. We'll start with the Pistons. Should they bring back the final countdown plus the intros?
I would say, as a general rule, no. But if they get to game six, that's when you break it out to seal the series at home. That's when that's the only time I would break. I wouldn't do it here. I'd let this team go ahead and make their own way. And don't saddle them with the history of what has happened when they've had the final countdown. They've had all of that.
Yeah, but this team has drawn inspiration from those teams. So whether it's the Bad Boys or the Going to Work Pistons.
They seem to be drawing more inspiration from Going to Work Pistons. And were they still doing this for the Going to Work Pistons?
Yes, I think it's a requirement that Mason gives these intros and we get the final countdown.
Yeah, but they haven't done it all year.
Yeah, but this is the time to break it out.
Hey, do you have a preference?
Not a strong preference. I'd be indifferent either way, but I'm more of a, bring it back. Like, it's a great, it gives everyone like a great feeling, right? Like, why not? I don't see why not.
Yes, they should. They have earned it. They have earned that honor of the final countdown and the intros.
But I was told that the FanDuel Sports local broadcasts are going to stay live for, quote, something. It's got to be this. It's got to be this.
I'm not a fan personally. I wish teams would come up with their own identities and own songs and stuff. And then Detroit's so bad with the old bits sometimes and keeping them alive. I mean, what did we use Bless You Boys last year with the Tigers? I mean, seriously, it's the same thing. But you know what? It makes a lot of people happy, so do it.
John, at the Tiger game yesterday, we were talking about walkout songs. What would your walkout song be?
Heather?
You know, it's funny when I thought of this, I'm like, well, what song is like the song of my life right now? And it'd be like The Wheels on the Bus, or If You're Happy and You Know It, I'm coming up. That's what would be playing right now.
The Final Countdown. No, I'm just kidding. Definitely the NWO theme music from the heyday. They were a group in the, like a bunch of villains. That's when Hogan went to the dark side. It was awesome.
Greg?
So a lot of people think of this as the walkout music when you go as a batter in a batter's box. I think of it as the walkout music out of the bullpen as an intimidating closer to the mound. Oh. I'm going Until It Sleeps by Metallica.
Oh, okay.
That's awesome. I got Lose Yourself, Eminem. Classic.
Okay.
I also wrote that down as like a backup if the wheels in the bus doesn't go over well.
So it's funny how deep you went in this, because I had other ones too. I go, low-key millennial jam, Sweetness, Jimmy Eat World. But that's deeper cuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could do Wheels on the Bus, though. Yeah. I mean, it would have to be the 90-win bus now for the Tigers. Yeah, so there you go. Yeah.
Saved a seat for Valeni. Uh-huh. He's on board. Best and worst Lions draft pick ever.
This one to me was super easy. The best one is Penei Sewell. It started everything. It set the tone for the Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell era. And we know how good he is. He's the best tackle in the league. And the worst one, by far, sorry, because he's a great dude, Aaron Gibson. Sorry, they passed. They passed twice. But Aaron Gibson, first round pick, and they passed on
who should they have taken
local,
instead?
A local talent that ended up going to Washington. I'll keep him nameless.
Yeah, but did he have like a good career even? Like, was
he ended
good?
Up playing 12 years. Oh. Played a decade with that original team. Ended up coming back to Detroit finally. But Aaron Gibson was no longer a part of the team. This was the 1999 draft, and he was no longer part of the team midway through the 2001 season.
Does Heather have anything from Colin?
No, pass. I was going to ask him, but no, I didn't.
A pass.
In terms of changing the direction of the franchise and where you are in the draft, where it is difficult to do so, and taking a lottery pick and liking the guy that you got, it's Amon-Ra St. Brown is the best.
Who's the worst?
Aaron Gibson.
Man, take a number, man.
Take a number.
Can't decide. All right,
and
Tom.
There's so many, but I'm very adamant about mine. And although I think Greg's right, I think the obvious is sitting in front of us with the best. It's Barry Sanders. They had choices to make then. It could have been Derek Thomas or Deion. They didn't get butt hurt by Deion's comments saying he didn't want to come here and then say, oh, well, we'll see. You know, back then that was a little bit more common, the stubbornness of GMs.
Yeah.
And Barry changed the face of the franchise. He's arguably the best running back. He is, in my opinion, at the position. You drafted a starter on the all-22 team. The worst is easily for me, Eric Ebron. That was a damn good, talented Lions team in 2014. And if that team would have had Aaron Donald on it, I think this whole thing might be different. Like, seriously, that team, that 2014 Lions team is the biggest threat for me personally to go to the Super Bowl. That's the best Lions team I've seen in my life up until probably a combination of the last 2 years, you know? But Aaron Donald, I mean, think about that, guys. You're putting him with Sue. Maybe Sue stays. I mean, you're talking, you think what the Eagles have now.
Yeah.
Think about that.
So I graded on a curve. So St. Brown was my best because you're picking in the fourth round and you land an all pro culture guy. And sticking with that curve, Charles Rogers, number two overall, is the worst pick in franchise history.
It's hard to argue.
National Bucket List Day. What's something on your bucket list?
Oh, for me, it's the Great Loop. This is a boating route that goes, obviously, through the Great Lakes. You go out the St. Lawrence Seaway. You go out to the Intercoastal. You go down around Florida. You come back up the Mississippi. You wake your way back out of Chicago, and you finish in the Great Lakes. It's about 5,500 miles. My dream was to accomplish this by now, but then... Kids.
Mm. Life. Those darn kids.
Yes. Everything happened.
Did Stoney do that for 4 hours?
Yes, he did. Yes. That was just, his Great Loop was just around Indianapolis. Yes. Mine goes a little bit further.
Heather?
Travel. There's a lot of places I want to travel to. I really want to go to Norway, which is where my family is from. Kind of do like, I want to go to locations where my family lived.
I thought your people were from Minnesota.
No, that would be the Vikings.
Oh, sorry.
Yes. Yeah. The actual Vikings.
Oh, okay.
I'll say a traditional SEC football venue and playing another high level team.
I would say for me, it's Italy. Would love to see Italy. The food, the culture, the history.
The original Bolognese.
The Bolognese. Mm-hmm. And I'm, next 3 years, you got to set goals for this stuff.
Uh huh.
What percentage do you start getting concerned about your device's battery life?
10%.
Yeah, I'm right around 10 too. It's like, oh, I better find a charger. Like, if I don't find a charger, it's going to die.
You guys play with fire. For me, 39%.
39 to be exact.
I like that.
39%. Please explain.
Because in the 40s, I'm still close to 50, but at 39, I'm going, if I'm going to be out somewhere, I need to be higher than 39%.
Yeah, Jim, a little surprised that it is that high, but man, mine is, if I get to the low 40s, I'm starting to think.
Really?
And starting to get anxious.
Really? Huh. I'm actually kind of hoping my devices die.
I never get it. My phone dies all the time, and it just dies.
Yeah, so John, you get happier as it goes down.
Oh, yes. Yes. I'm like, I'm almost there.
You're rooting for it.
2%!
Excuses. Here comes the excuse. Sorry, my phone was dead.
Mine's 20%. And when it turns red, the bar, I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah, it's built in. If four-day work weeks were suddenly standard, how would you want it to go? Would you want Friday through Sunday off, or would you want Wednesday off in the middle so that you never work more than 2 days in a row?
This one is a home run for me. It is Wednesday off. It's Monday, Tuesday. You have a two-day work week, Wednesday off, Thursday, Friday. And having Tuesdays off in the league, having a midday work day where everyone else is working and you have that one off. It's much different than Friday. You try and get something done on a Friday, and everybody else is checked out. You get something done on a Wednesday, and there's actually time to get stuff done.
But you can't go anywhere. Like, you can't, like,
I don't go anywhere anyway.
You can't, like, take on a weekend trip. Yeah. You just, if you
I could
do
go
the-
fishing every Wednesday.
It's a poor choice. I don't agree with you. I think it's a bad choice.
You would take the three in a row.
Yeah, I want the longest days off so I can go do something.
Okay, where are you going to go every weekend with kids?
I'm going to go up to a cottage. I'm going to go up north to a lake.
Your place up north is a 10-hour drive.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like a fictional cottage that I have in my mind. I'm just saying
on your bucket list.
Yes, exactly. You know what? That's a good bucket list item. I want to have a cottage.
So I'm with John in some capacity because I do think you get some alone time as an adult. That's virtually...
Kids are in school.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can do your thing, but... With this shift, I got to go Friday to Sunday because Thursday's lurking awfully quick on Wednesday in terms of prep. I kind of like our last half of Sundays. It's like it just starts getting depressing.
Yeah,
the Wednesday would feel wasted with this job.
Yeah,
I take three in a row. That's the cookie jar. John, you're all alone with your Wednesdays.
That's fine. I'll be all alone on my Wednesday. That's fine.
I think that's how you want it. It's 97.1. We stress it all morning long. We got open lines. You want to talk football? You want to talk Lions? You want to talk draft? Call in.
Yeah. And at 7:35 when we get back into the Lions, you know, and we'll talk about it at any time. So if you want to call, text, we'll do it now. But at 7:35, who do you want on day two? There's a lot of good players still in this draft. Day two should be a major contributor. And they have an opportunity at 60 to get somebody that's going to help them this year.
In addition to all the Lions stuff this morning. We got AJ Hinch at 8:02, and we want to talk about the Pistons. If you were at that game, the atmosphere, final countdown is back. You had bunch of people at the game. Ben Wallace, Rip Hamilton. You had a bunch of Detroit Lions players. I saw Jameer Gibbs was at the game. Mm-hmm. And I think the entire Tiger baseball team showed up as well. AJ Hinch, Scott Harris, everybody. So if you were there, we want to hear from you. And then we want to know what went wrong. Because, John, I mean, that is the story here. That as cool as it is to have that environment back, they lost the game.
They did. And there were some awkward moments in that game, especially the way it ended was just weird. But I got a text from Coach Tom. I was there last night. The atmosphere was electric. It was really good home court. It was great. And they went back. It was great that they went back to the retro introduction. I think everybody loved that. And that was the consensus at the draft party. Everybody loved the final countdown. They loved that was back. The only criticism was the flames weren't as long as the ones used in Auburn Hills.
They're going to work their way up to it.
Yeah.
Biggest reason they lost the game, first of all, they didn't deserve to win the game. I know people will point out the backcourt violation, should it have been called or not, and Bickerstaff was hot about it after the game. The Pistons were down like the whole way. And Karl-Anthony Towns stepped up in a big spot as the number two with Jalen Brunson, actually outscored Brunson. Meanwhile, the Pistons didn't have a number two step up on the scorer sheet.
No, and it felt like all the key spots to get momentum is where New York excelled.
Yeah.
Going into the end of the first quarter, going into halftime.
23-6 run to close the first half, second quarter.
You know, to the end of the third quarter. And obviously,
The offensive rebound and a putback. You're right. All these little plays.
And it's going into moments where, hey, you want to have some momentum going into the break at the quarter. You want to have some momentum going into halftime. You want to have some momentum at some of those key moments. And New York had all of those moments.
There were even moments like a fourth quarter, one that still bugs me. You get a tie-up with Duren and Brunson. You have to win the tip. Instead, they tip it and it goes out of bounds and you lose possession. Those things add up. Cade Cunningham had a move where he left a defender in the dust, blew a tire. But then Cade doesn't finish at the rim. It's a turnover, and Brunson's got a layup the other way. It's a series of those plays where it was the reverse of game two. The Pistons were trailing the whole time. And I just... complain about a call or two. They didn't deserve to win that game.
I may be off on the exact points, but I think it was 20-11. The Knicks had started off hot. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, it's the foul on Hardaway, and he gets the three free throws. They get the ball, and he hits a three. They've made up six. And now all of a sudden, it's a missed bucket. They come down, and Cade hits a three, and they're tied up at 20, I believe is what it was. I thought at that moment, all right, we took control of the game. We settled things down. We used everything that happened to the Pistons' advantage, and it's just like they could never follow through and capitalize fully on it.
So Sean Windsor with the Free Press columnist, his headline on his story is Metal Tops Momentum. And I 1,000% agree with that. Like, I think the story about the Knicks and not having anything left and the Pistons were in control got way, way oversold yesterday and after game two. I do. They showed up last night, and every time the Pistons made a run, they answered. How many times did they get ahead by like eight? And then the acceleration before the half, it's like, you know, they really showed a backbone last night. And you can pick apart the way the game was playing, the officiating and all those things.
No, I think that's silly.
But the Pistons riding the momentum, it wasn't enough. I was surprised it didn't work last night. I thought last night was going to kind of be a little bit of a, this is for Detroit moment. We're going to get our first home playoff win in forever and all these things. And that game four would be the problem. The Knicks showed up last night. They did what they were supposed to with Cat.
Specifically, Cat showed up. I mean, to put up a goose egg in the second half of game two, you knew he was personally going to be challenged. He came out. He was hot early. He kept it through the end of that game. He scored 31 points. Jalen Brunson, by the way, less flopping, still productive, in the face of a crowd that was trying to get under his skin.
Yeah.
A lot of chants and expletives. No, that's a great point, Tom. They showed up on the road in a big spot. They answered the bell, and now the Pistons have, I'll call it a must-win game four.
And what were some of the things that we talked about JB needed to do, right? Use the bench a little bit more. We saw Paul Reed's minutes double. We saw Ron Holland's minutes double. Dennis Schroeder was pretty much even, I think, at 30 minutes. I think it was 30 minutes on Monday night. Malik Beasley, that's where I think this team has not had the oomph that they needed from the guy that we thought should have been the sixth man of the year. Tim Hardaway, 7 of 12 from behind the arc.
He was good.
Malik Beasley was it, 1 3-pointer on Monday night, and then last night it was 2 of 10 from behind the arc?
So the Knicks had 4 players score more than 20 points.
Yeah.
The Pistons only had 2. It was Cade, and you mentioned Tim Hardaway Jr. For Tobias Harris to have 5 mm-hmm. and Karl Anthony Towns to have 31, that's a huge reason they lost this game. And you're right, with Beasley, it's back-to-back poor shooting games from him. When we talk about, hey, later this summer, trying to put a number 2 with Cade, circle the game from last night as a part of that reason.
So before yesterday, it was 4 players standing around watching 1, and now 4 players scored 20. Massive adjustment and change that they made as a team and also as a coaching staff.
Yeah.
Let's get some phone calls. 248-539-9797. Michael in Detroit, you're on 97.1.
Yes, I was on there with you before. Can you hear me?
We got you.
Yep.
All right, this is Pistons, Michael. I just wanted to say they played so terrible yesterday. And I've been telling y'all before when I called last time that Cade Cunningham, he's a great player, but he shouldn't be no point guard. It seems like when 2 people come up on him, he gets confused a little bit because there's a lot of guys was open in the corner when he was going down there, turning around, turning into a center. And, but anyway, we're going to win this series. It's going to be a little tougher than I thought.
It's going to be a war.
Yeah, but I think we just want to go win it in New York on the 7th, but it's okay. It's all good. We're going to win. Didn't nobody think we were going to go this far. I've got $20 that we're going to win the East for $2,500, so we're going to win the East. I ain't scared of Cleveland or Boston. As soon as we get the people going, the Pistons going, and I think we need Stewart back. I really didn't like Stewart, but now I think we need Stewart.
Well, specifically to throw on Karl Anthony Towns, because if Towns is going to get going like this, you're going to need beef stew. And Sunday is more than a week between games for Stewart.
Yeah.
So
plenty of rest.
I don't know anything, but optimistic would be where I sit today. 248-539-9797. Let's get to John in Kalamazoo. John, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up?
Yeah, so I had 2 things about the Lions last night. The first one is the Tyreek Williams. I think it's a single. It's not a double. It's not a home run. It fills a need, but I feel like there were better players that were available on the board. Jahan Gamble, Will Johnson sitting there. There are multiple edge rushers sitting there. I don't think other teams were knocking down the door to go get this guy in the first round. So I feel like he would have been there in the second. And the second point is, does Howie Roseman have, like, dirty laundry on everybody in the league? Because how does this keep happening that, you know, Jalen Carter fell to him in the draft? Now, Jahan Gamble falls to him in the draft. But how does this keep happening?
It's wild, too, because, like, to be an NFL executive, you have to be plugged in and know football. And at the same time, it feels like Howie Roseman just drafts the player that we all think is really good. Right? It doesn't feel like he's doing anything...
Yeah.
Like super superior, sneaky. He's just, hey, Jahan Gamble, everybody has him at 10 or 11 on the mock drafts. I'm going to take him at 31.
No, the super sneaky, you know, superpower is what we've seen him do in free agency, how we've seen him work trades, which is what we haven't really seen from Brad Holmes. But yeah, I mean, it's they have entered the, Howie Roseman has entered the, oh yeah, that seemed like an Eagles pick. Just like when we talk about Baltimore.
Yeah.
Malachi starts, it just kind of seems like a Baltimore pick.
But I want to just go through the last couple Eagles first round. So they take Jahan Gamble last night. Everybody goes, oh, hell of a football player. How do you fall? Last year, Quinyon Mitchell. Everybody loved Quinyon Mitchell. Cooper DeJean. Everybody loved him. They got him in the second. Like, these are household names. He just drafts the household names. Jalen Carter the year before with Nolan Smith. Georgia, productive, national champion, front 7 pieces. Jordan Davis, Devontae Smith. They just draft the household names that are really good football players. He makes it look easy. How did they keep doing this?
I mean, they do their due diligence. And I mean, is Tyreek Williams the sexy pick?
No.
No, because the sexy pick would have been an edge. But I think it's a pick that is going to make this team will be better with Tyreek Williams as a part of it on you know, the first day of the season versus not having Tyreek Williams.
He is a day one starter, and he's a long-term piece to pair with Aleem McNeil. The two of them will be in the middle of this defense for years to come. Both of them are massive human beings who stuff the run and can play interior.
both the one and the three technique and collapse a pocket. I see the vision. We wanted them to beef up the D-line. Edge is one way to get to the quarterback, but the fastest way, right up the middle. Can't be mad at the pick. If you're mad they didn't take Campbell, I know that's part of the conversation today. 248-539-9797. Hey, we've got the Pistons in the mix. We've got the Lions. Coming up next, can we play the final countdown? We've got it. The intro is from Mason last night. Let's play it for people. It's 97.1.
We will get to some draft stuff later in the show, but it's a big day for the Detroit Pistons. In fact, this morning on Get Up, watching national coverage, they asked Marcus Morris about this series and who he thinks is going to win this series now. And his quote was, "If I were a Knicks fan, I would be very, very, very worried."
No.
Three varies.
It's a lot of varies.
Yep.
You know, something else that's really satisfying about the win last night, we haven't mentioned yet, it snaps that 15-game losing streak.
The postseason?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over 6,000 days since their last playoff win. I mean, that's awesome.
It is. It is really, it's really been a minute, and it feels like, it's like a generation of people ago.
It is, right. And just to answer what happened on Saturday night too, right? I mean, you have this lead in the fourth quarter. You feel like you got this game and kind of under wraps here, and then all of a sudden this run happens, and then they lose. And we know how we feel as fans. When you lose, you feel like you're never going to win again.
Yep.
And particularly the way that they lost, you're like, oh, God, it sucks. Yeah, yuck, throw it in the garbage. Let's go out and we'll go back to work, and we'll win the next game. And they did.
It feels like it's a good time to circle back and revisit one of my favorite trivia questions, which was, who were the five Pistons on the floor at the end of the last Piston playoff win? And they were Jason Maxiell, Amir Johnson, Aaron Aflalo, Rodney Stuckey, and Jarvis Hayes.
It's a foundation right there. There you go.
Because they had emptied the bench with a 19-point lead over the Celtics in a minute to go. So those five were the last five on the floor the last time the Pistons won a game. The last Piston to make a basket in a playoff win was a three-pointer from Jarvis Hayes on a pass from Aaron Aflalo.
Look out. Weren't Aflalo and Stuckey the same draft?
It might have been, yeah.
I mean, you felt like they were building something. Those guys.
No, we knew they were closers.
And Mad Max.
Those are the guys you put on to close out a game.
Sure.
Yeah. Crazy, huh? Okay, so Tom Thibodeau after the game. Tom Thibodeau after the game had this to say.
He's the coach of the Knicks.
Yeah, sorry. Had this to say about the officiating. He was not happy with how it went down. The Knicks didn't shoot their first free throws till there were 17 seconds to go in the first half. And when the game was over, here's what he had to say.
No, we're getting quieter and quieter.
We lost it there at the end. Okay, is that right? Cade Cunningham with his 12 free throws and Jalen Brunson with his 11?
No, there's a huge disparity.
Yeah, how many more did you want, Thibodeau? How many more should he have gotten?
Well, he's a little precious here, and he's upset because the free throw... Overall, Pistons took 34 and the Knicks took 19. The fouls overall, the Pistons committed 24 fouls. The Knicks committed 22 fouls. The Pistons had more fouls. What are you talking about, Precious? I mean, if you're upset because your guys didn't get to the line, they were just getting fouled. Yeah, because they're just looking to get fouled. In order to actually take free throws, you need to be in the act of shooting, or the team's got to be in the bonus at the end, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe if your guys weren't so hell-bent on just getting the foul call, you might have something more to look at. But in the meantime, your logic and facts are all wrong.
You know, there was a point later in the press conference where he said something that was so low-key disrespectful and dismissive. I was like, I hope the Pistons heard that, because it was, I think it was a shot. I think it was a shot that you have to think about a little bit. But somebody asked, what did Cade Cunningham do differently between game one and game two, because obviously Cade was in his struggles and his turnovers, and you know, he had 21 points, which for him is, you know, below average, and came back and had 33 points, shot the ball better, didn't turn it over as much. And he was asked, what did Cade Cunningham do differently between game one and game two? And all he said was, well, he was getting to the line a lot. I think that is so dismissive of Cade Cunningham. Basically, after you've already complained about the refs, when Cade comes out and plays better, he basically says he got a bunch of calls. That's basically all he is saying. And that's how I interpret that. And I hope the Pistons and I hope Cade Cunningham interprets that. That is, I think, low-key disrespectful and dismissive of Cade, well, the difference between Cade Cunningham in game one and game two.
Well, it's completely dismissive. Cade made 11 shots. He was 11-21 from the field. So that alone gets him, you know, 23 points because one of them was a three-pointer. That's just on field shooting. That's not free throw shooting. So he's almost at his average from that. So shut up. What I think he's doing is clearly he's planting the seed in the referees' heads that there's a disparity with the foul calls when there clearly isn't. But he's trying to do that. He's trying to stick up for his team, and he's going to take the heat for it because he knows what's going to happen, that we're all going to talk about him and what a jackass he is for making these statements. And he is. Make no mistake about that. But the other thing I think he's doing is he's setting it up for when they come back to New York. And that is when the Pistons come back into the Garden to play, that crowd is going to despise Cade Cunningham if they didn't already. I don't think they did, but I think now they're going to despise him because the coach is calling that guy out in particular and saying, well, he gets all the calls when we know better. But look, he's going to look at it through his glasses and he's trying to spin it his way. And when you've got the New York Post and they've got Cade's picture up there and call him the next villain or whatever it is they said, it's all there. It's all propaganda to get that crowd to be as heated and as hateful towards Cade Cunningham as possible for game five.
The fact that the Pistons got called for more fouls than the Knicks and he's complaining is hysterical. Greg Kelcer said during the broadcast, I don't know if people watch the TNT broadcast or the FanDuel broadcast. I had the local broadcast on. And he made the comment that that Cade is being more aggressive going to the basket. He wasn't seeking contact, but he was being aggressive going to the basket. And that's why the Pistons had a bunch of free throws early in the game. And Cade doesn't seek contact. It happens.
That's what he said was he was driving the lane and he's looking to score, whereas the Knicks are driving the lane looking to get fouled.
All right, feedback coming into the Carson Anderson inbox. If Beasley and Tim Hardaway Jr. are going to struggle and Asar can't stay on the floor, it's going to be tough. Cade will get you another game alone, but he needs more help. There's no question that there's, I mean, they're not going to win too many games with Beasley and Tim Hardaway going 1-for-14 from three. That's not going to happen that much.
No, that's not going to happen that much. And who knows if they get Stewart back on Thursday, that'd be a big lift for them because it spreads out some more minutes, gives them a break, and gives them six more fouls that they can use because that's a Piston-style basketball. They're going to play physical. You want to get to the line, you know, Thibodeau? Okay, you guys are probably going to get to the line, but it's going to be because the Pistons are going to hammer you a little bit. And you can't expect Hardaway and Beasley to be non-factors offensively. You never expect that. That was the game, and they survived it. It's a little bit like the Tigers last night. Tigers against this great team that the Padres have. Padres have a really good pitcher on the hill, and the Tigers combat that with Keter Montero, who was not good. He's walking half the guys he's facing, and he's giving up hits to the other half, it felt like, for a while there. But yet, what happened? The Tigers were able to persevere. They were able to dink and dunk a little bit, and then they got a couple of bigger hits, and they win the game. Turn it over to the bullpen. Bullpen pitches great. It's similar. If you can just get the win, that's all that matters. Winning in professional sports is not easy, particularly in the playoffs. Take your hat off to the Pistons last night. That's a hard day's work to get it done. It wasn't pretty. Your scorers did not score outside of, you know, Cade and Tobias were scoring, but the guys you're counting on, like Hardaway and Beasley, did not score, and you were able to get past that because other guys stepped up. That's basketball. That's team basketball. And that's what this Pistons team is all about.
Yeah, but the question is, just get the win, but how do you get the win other than Cade scoring. In the first two games, they've been lucky that Tobias carried, you know, a lot in the first half of game one. They ended up losing the game, but he was the secondary scorer. And last night, Schroeder came through. And it could be somebody different game three and game four. That's how this Pistons team has kind of been built this year. Malik Beasley's probably been the most consistent secondary scorer, and he hasn't shown up this series at all yet. And you got to imagine that he will at some point, right? Especially coming home, maybe he feels more comfortable with the, at LCA.
248-539-9797. And the other thing you said, Gator, no truer words have been said. That is as much to try and impact how the whistles go moving forward. He's trying to impact game three. He's trying to impact game four, game five. He's definitely trying to change the narrative in his favor, what he thinks can he can influence it in his favor with the officials moving forward.
And that's his job, to take the focus off his team and put it on him.
248-539-9797. Get to more of your phone calls and feedback coming up. We do want to talk about that Tiger win last night. We'll get to that today at 11:35 here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Michigan Auto Law auto accident attorneys. Because they specialize only in auto and truck accidents, they have the largest auto and largest truck accident settlement of any lawyer or law firm in Michigan. On top of that, Michigan's largest legal newspaper reviewed all the law firms in Michigan and called Michigan Auto Law arguably the best in the business. Many people call Michigan Auto Law because they can't get a call back from the current law firm. Proactive communication is super important to them. They will return all phone calls within 24 hours. Michigan Auto Law, the law firm that puts people over everything. Visit autolaw.com. That's autolaw.com.
JB Bickerstaff talking about Cade Cunningham. And Doug, I think what we've seen from Cade, we've seen two different kinds of Cade Cunningham in the first two games, and we're going to see a different Cade Cunningham on Thursday. Just throwing different looks at him. The first one was at a bunch of assists and didn't shoot particularly well and didn't get aggressive in the fourth quarter. The second version scored a lot, but didn't dish the ball around, but grabbed a bunch of rebounds.
Yep.
I think Thursday we're going to get closer to the Cade Cunningham we've seen all season long, which is triple-double waiting to happen, and a guy who's going to lead this team to perhaps a victory.
Well, we called for it, and it came to fruition in Game 2, a big day for Cade Cunningham. 248-539-9797. It wasn't the boldest of calls. It was just, hey, Game 1 shouldn't rattle you. If you're a Cade Cunningham fan and he won you over, there's no reason why you shouldn't expect him to have a big game in game two. It was one game. It was one game. Here we go. Feedback coming into the Carson Anderson inbox from Josh and Warren. The Pistons may be the we try hard team, but you know what happens when you try hard for 82 games? It translates to the playoffs. Great response. They can outwork the Knicks to a series win for sure. Next text. I'm captain of the Asar bandwagon, but he has to stop picking up the dumb fouls. I can live with aggressive defense, but some of his fouls are just foolish. So, look, I mean, it's pretty clear J.B. Bickerstaff is going to say, hey, you know that whole backcourt entanglement where you picked up a foul? Yeah, don't do that.
None of that.
Stuff on the offensive end. When he's in the offensive end or he's taking the ball to the basket and you foul him, you're being aggressive and get called for a foul, we'll take that. But don't do the 170 feet from the basket. I mean, he said as much, and that's, I think, the game plan. Jeff and Warren says, after last night's game, I feel the same way about Brunson as Doug feels about Trae Young. I felt Brunson was hunting fouls the whole end of the game. He didn't even seem to be trying to score. He was trying to get fouled for free throws or get Pistons fouled out. Yep.
Lots of hooking going around, both from the offensive and defensive players. Hooking is a big thing. Sorry about that. It's a big, big thing. Curling that arm around.
Yep.
Holding the player down. It happens all the time. And I felt like the first part of the game, the officials were just letting the play. Like, we don't really care. And then at some point, they okay, we let you play along for too long. Now we're going to start calling stuff. And then it felt like they were calling almost everything for a while. And it was just, I thought it was inconsistent both ways throughout the game, which is a tough way to play a basketball game when you can't really get the feel for what are they going to allow and what are they not going to allow.
Yeah, that's why I definitely put some blame on the refs for this happening in the league and in this series. Is Brunson does it, other guys do it because it works, right? And I think if the refs stop calling the flop so much and force the players to play through it or not look for the fouls, the game will be better overall. But once you start calling a little bit, everyone's going to do it. Like, you saw Schroeder was embellishing a bunch of stuff, too, because anytime he felt he got shoved, he's like, well, I'm going to go flying, too. Because at this point, we're trying to get some calls back, right?
Mm-hmm. Can you guys explain this to me? Maybe I'm just dumb, and it's entirely possible when it comes to the NBA. I think it was Malik Beasley came down, and it wasn't a breakaway dunk, but he was ahead of the pack, goes to dunk it, gets fouled, and the basket went in. Like, he was able to finish the dunk, gets fouled, then they call the extra flagrant on him or whatever.
It wasn't Beasley. It was a Sar.
Was it a Sar?
Yeah, it was on the lob.
That's right.
The one where he went to dunk, he missed it, and then Tobias tipped it in right after that.
Oh, it was Tobias.
So they just called the foul. You're talking about with a Sar Thompson where Beasley, or yeah.
I thought it was Beasley that dunked it. No, they said it wasn't a dunk.
No, Doug, you had it right the first time. Yeah,
it was on a lob, right?
Yeah, but it was no tipping. The ball actually went in.
The ball went in. They called a foul, and there was that weird rule, the clear path foul. They called the clear path foul, and then he missed both free throws. They got two free throws in the ball. What was weird about that is it felt like they should have counted the basket.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't count the basket.
So two things. I think when they called the clear path, that negated, like, that he even went into the shooting motion or the lob. Like, they just called, hey, you fouled him in the open court. The ball was in the air, right? The pass. Secondly, they could have called it also offensive interference because the ball touched Asar's hands, went up in the air, then Asar grabbed the rim, let go, and then the ball went through the net. That's why they could have just negated that too as well. But
I wasn't watching as closely as perhaps I thought I was. That was the problem.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And hey, look, now I feel sufficiently stupid.
So it's okay. More feedback coming in. After last night's game, I already read that one. Sorry. Pistons look like the better team for 91 of 96 minutes in this series so far. I truly think they will pull this out in six. That's from an unnamed texter. Everybody is saying it's 7 of 8 quarters. You're probably more specific, 91 of 96 minutes. Like Mickey said it on the postgame show last night in studio. One of the New York media guys said it this morning on Get Up that 7 of these 8 quarters have belonged to Detroit. But to really break it down, you might be right. It's 91 of 96 minutes.
I think it might be a little bit less than that. I mean, you got to give the Knicks credit for coming back last night as well. They eat up a couple minutes from last night, and obviously they had the big stretch on Saturday night.
The Pistons have played very, very well and should be confident coming back to Detroit. And I think you as a Piston fan base should be confident. Between the Pistons, the Tigers, and the Lions, all you guys talk about is last night's game in sports. What a world we live in. I said to Gator earlier, this last about 8 months, we have had, get this, a Tiger run to the postseason, which out of nowhere, that stunned everybody and had people just parachuting in on the Detroit Tigers. We had a credible Detroit Lions team go out and go 15-2, deliver during the regular season, got it. But they had the bulk of the NFL season was one that we have never had before in these jobs, which is they're supposed to be good. They are good. And in fact, better than expected during the regular season. The playoff disappointment notwithstanding, it sucked. But we had an entire NFL season from a completely different perspective. We looked at it from a prism of being on top. And now we have a Piston team that started the season, was pretty uncompelling. In the middle of December, the light went on and it has stayed on. And now we have a postseason win and a fan base that's stoked about it. It's been a wild 8 months. And so whoever sent this in, and I don't think he signed your text, you are right. It's wild.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as the Lions bowed out, the Pistons, it was like, they're like, we got you. Mm-hmm. We got this. We'll pick it up. Red Wings didn't do their part, but the Pistons sure as hell did their part. And now we're not only looking at a playoff series here, but it's back to even. One game apiece. They get off the schneid of that 15-game playoff losing streak.
The schneid is indeed gotten off of.
Yes. They look good. Not great, but they look good. Defense looked great last night with holding the Knicks to 94 points. You will take that all day long, and it sets up a really intriguing matchup on Thursday night. And, oh, look what's back Thursday, too. The NFL.
We go to Paul in Clinton Township here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Paul.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
You know, it's an officiating call, but maybe a different one. If I simply subtract Jalen Brunson from the process. I think it was a pretty well and good officiated game. You know what I mean? Yeah. Mistakes on either side. Guys did this, guys did that. Since when is Jalen Brunson this guy that has earned the ability to literally, in my opinion, act on the court and get what he does? I mean, he is an actor, and they're buying into it, and I don't understand it. I mean, I know he's good. I'm not saying he's not good. He clearly showed he's good. But, like, they're treating him as if he is literally a combo of Jordan, Kobe. It doesn't make sense to me that he gets a whistle like he does for which in most cases.
I think it's hugely disrespectful to put Jalen Brunson in the same category as Jordan and Kobe, because Jordan and Kobe got all the calls, but they weren't seeking them. Jalen Brunson is looking for the call. I don't think Kobe or Jordan did it nearly as much as Brunson did, it the central focus of the second half.
No, you're correct. They didn't. And what I'm asking is, why are officials falling for this? You watch the game, are you telling me that you can't see that he's acting?
Well, it's one of the reasons why I singled out Trae Young early. Is like, it drives me nuts. It drives me nuts. Players that try to get to the line more than they try to score.
Well, to answer Paul's question, some of these are flops for sure, but technically most of them are fouls, and that's why they're calling them. I think the problem everyone has with the public and the viewing audience is we hate watching this style of basketball.
Yep.
Like when a guy runs into Brunson because he break checks, it's a foul. But the fact that that's all he's looking to do is annoying, and no one likes watching it.
Nope.
Now, when he launches himself into your chest when he gets you in the air, there's only a certain degree you're allowed to do that. But, yeah, it's technically a foul. That's why he's doing it. And that's why they're calling it.
248-539-9797. Hey, all you female sports fans, Tuesdays are the day for you. It's your favorite Twin Peaks. Grab your friends and join them every Tuesday for Ladies Day. $4 Happy Dads, Twisted Teas, Mimosas, House Long Islands, Margaritas, and Sangria. $5 lemon drop martinis, green, white, and orange tea shots, 10-ounce draft ciders, 20% off all food, half off all wine, and be sure to check out their awesome mimosa flights or buckets of bubbly, sure to turn some heads. And be sure to clear your schedules Thursday night, as the Lodges will be rocking with NBA playoff action featuring your Detroit basketball team in Game 3 against New York. And, of course, the football draft. Get there early for your chance to win a Vizio soundbar to upgrade your own man cave. Guess the most correct picks in the top 10 of the draft, and you can take it home. Must be in attendance to win, and the prize will be given away at the end of round one. What better way than playoff basketball and your first look at the new players joining your favorite football team? Watching it all at Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks girls are waiting to serve up all your favorites, like the ice-cold 29-degree draft beer, high-end margaritas, and whiskey cocktails, and that delicious scratch-made food you crave. Be there or be square. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views.
Well, we've made it to Friday. We've got so much to talk about. And as much as I want to open with the draft, we do want to dedicate some time to Game 3, into a winners and losers of the draft, into full-blown draft talk. And what I'm not going to open up with, I don't want to be self-aggrandizing. We won't open up with basically everything I said about the draft came true. So if you need some life advice or marital advice, I can help you with that too. I'm just laser focused. I'm not going to open with, I told you Shadur wasn't going to go in the first round. We're not going to do that. That would be, patting yourself on the back, Kenny. The greatest. We're not going to do it. No chance we do it. Not going to open the show like that. No shot. We're not going to open up with the fact that I told you the Giants were trading up for Jackson Dart. That would be egotistical. We will not do that. We will not, and also, too, I don't want you to think we'd ever open up with me saying yesterday, I think they're going interior big person. Here's a couple of the style of D-tackle they would want, a Kenneth Grant or a Tykeel Williams, the kid out of Ohio State. Like, if I open the show like that, well, then you're just being a penis. I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
Wow, what a penis. The biggest penis.
David, I think we have a new drop.
I think so.
That may actually be a category.
But we're
That's
not
going to be a bracket right there.
Yeah, honestly, David, I'm going to need that drop on the board mid-show. But we're not going to open up with all those things. Not going to do it.
No?
No, we're going to do something.
I mean, you double jointed over there. I like, maybe I should just go pat him on the back for.
Not going
to
do
go,
it.
Buddy. Way
not,
to go.
Not.
Strong J.
Not going to do it. Figure if I opened up with that, you'd think I were a bit of an egomaniac. Not going to do it.
No cigar?
No, not going to do it. We are going to open with game three, though, where I got it wrong. I thought the Pistons were going to win last night, especially if they had Final Countdown. But I want to know if you've always sold me, it used to be the Sword of Damocles, and then you moved into Occam's Razor. Mm-hmm. Basically, the simplest explanation is often the best, right? Like, you get into these playoff series, and you deep dive, and you're doing the matchups and the pick and roll. And okay, ready? Last night's game, Team A has better players than Team B. 2-4-8. You're relying on fringe NBA guys or warhorse veterans like Malik Beasley, Tim Hardaway Jr., Dennis Schroeder, who's played for 17 teams.
Torch.
You need Dennis Schroeder to help you close out a fourth quarter. Meanwhile, the other team has Jalen Brunson, who, by the way, what a gross look for the fans last night. F you, Brunson, emanating all over national TV. Nice work, guys. I hope you're very pleased with yourself. Yeah, why? I must have missed the playoff series he's beaten you in. I must have missed where he played here and left you when you're bringing Kevin Durant cupcakes to the game.
He complains about Cole.
Really? Because here's the other thing. So does your coach. There's no bigger hardo than Bickerstaff. 2 minutes into that game, He's mouthing to the ref, "Don't start with this bleep."
Yeah.
Nobody complains more. Stop it. Everybody complains all the time. Brunson is a shot taker, shot maker. Because you know what he wasn't doing down the stretch? Wasn't living at the line until you had to foul. He hit three daggers on you. That's skill. Suggesting this dude's just a foul hunter like he can't play the game? You're missing it. Also on the same day, by the way, did you see he won the Clutch Player of the Year award?
Yeah,
foul hunters don't win that. But I digress. They have Brunson. They have Karl Anthony Towns. They have OG Anunoby. They rely on guys who are actual stars. You rely on Tim Hardaway Jr. And sure, Schroeder and Hardaway hit 8 of their first 9 three-point attempts. Mm-hmm. Or beat fourth quarter, those shots don't go down. Mm-hmm. And is that too simple? Cat wasn't in a coma. The Knicks moved the ball a little more. I'm not going to start the show telling you I nailed the Knicks game plan. Not going to do that. But my point is the Pistons got outplayed. So bummed out because that crowd was ready, man.
Here, let me help you out. You know what? Here's one more pat on the back for you, Mike.
Okay.
One more. So, yes, as I'm coming up with all the different things on the show sheet and the different angles for it, then you just put that final thing on there saying, or where this is all overthinking and what you just said. I'm like, you know what? You may be right. Like, I spent all morning on doing this, and you're just like, yeah. It's all over.
Because it comes down.
They just got better players than us.
It just comes down to the principle of like game on the line, and I've got Karl Anthony Towns, game on the line, and I've got Tobias Harris. Like it, sometimes it does boil down to that. And for the Pistons to win the series, they have a very tight margin to do this. And last night, look, you knew Karl Anthony Towns was going to be more assertive. You didn't have an answer for it. Durin getting in all kinds of foul trouble. Can't happen. Can't happen, especially with Beef Stew not being around. But then you started to look at, okay, how are we going to pace this out? The defense never really got there. It never got over the hump. They'd get within 4, they'd get within 3, back out to 9. Get within 5, get within 4, back out to 11.
You know what it was? It was the inverse of the games in New York, where the Pistons had a gigantic lead, the Knicks would struggle to come back, and then the Pistons take the lead again. Yeah. I mean, other than, you know, just starting off, and I actually know because starting off the game, I think it was like 8-1, and you just never, I thought when Hardaway had the 6-point swing, when he got the fouls,
got
poked in the eye, and guys, that was not, I don't think he did it on purpose. He was putting a hand in his face.
I'm not, you know what? Here, I'll take it a step further because you're too nice.
I will not listen to a fan base who champions the dirtiest basketball teams in the history of this sport cry. Not happening. Take it elsewhere. Plenty of other shows to call. You guys sit there and have babies in your pants about teams that tried to kill people. Not listening.
Right. I was just like, yeah, that was just a basketball move. But anyway, they couldn't. I was like, and then you're expecting Tobias Harris to really show up, and he went just.
He went playoff Tobias. Yeah, he became who he was. The playoffs have the ability to expose who you really are. Look, I'm not bailing on the Pistons. I'm not telling you they can't fight and get this thing back. But last night was what I talked about of, look, if the Knicks actually play, if they play their B-plus game, you're not winning the series. They had played extremely poorly in the first two games. Last night, you got to see more of what they are. Huh. They used the bench a little bit more. And ultimately, your two best players were your best players.
I wonder if it's, you know, playing on the road that you don't have to play up for the crowd. Like, the Pistons didn't have to worry about their crowd, but I think the Knicks fans felt all the eyeballs on them, and they played very tight in those first couple games. Last night, that was an entirely different Knicks team, but the Pistons, I think, were playing, trying to play up to the crowd, trying to do things to get the crowd in the game instead of just focusing on the five guys that are they were playing against.
Outside of that, you know, F. Brunson stuff, the crowd was fabulous. They were loud. They were into it.
They showed up from the beginning.
Hell yeah, they did. And it bummed me out because the Pistons really did not play well. And when you need 9 3-pointers in the first half from the likes of, you know, Dennis Schroeder, who's a journeyman, you know, Tim Hardaway Jr., like, that's where I went, okay, that bought you time. Now you've got to start playing better. And defensively, they didn't have enough answers at all. I was in disbelief at the clock malfunction late. I couldn't believe that. I've never seen it. Miss free throw on purpose and get screwed. I was like, wait, so what?
Right, because I couldn't believe it.
If you told me they were in New York, I could buy that. I'm like, wait, you're here. Like,
well, and after they kept trying to explain on TNT, they kept, well, you know, this is a neutral clock operator in the playoffs, but come on now. They did that for the Pistons to get them in a final shot. It was not necessary, but here's what I'll say.
The clock, I'm talking about when it was like 0.5 seconds?
Yeah, at the end.
Yeah, before Durin, Ray Finkel, the inbounds pass.
Oh. Yeah, another not smart decision by Bickerstaff.
Oh, I get it now. Okay, so if you malfunction the clock, the Pistons, got you. Okay. Yeah.
Another not great opportunity by Bickerstaff at the end of that game. But here's what I'll say, because you're right. The crowd showed up. The crowd did what they were supposed to do, minus some of the other things.
No,
but
David,
they
I'm
did
just
what
saying,
they were supposed to do.
And again, I don't think any of us are soft about sports.
No.
I just don't need that as America's introduction to Detroit's fan base after 15 years. It's an awful look. You were loud. You're awesome. You were there. Really? F you Brunson all night?
Yeah.
And you can't come up with something else?
I get it, but the problem was the Pistons didn't show up. And it's not because they're not a good team. It's not because they don't have this or they don't have that. It is because they're just not good enough. And Jalen Brunson made the comment after the game, and they're talking to him after the game, media, and he says they made an environment special for the home team, the crowd. He says, we just found a way to win the game, but that was definitely a lot. So they had to work through the crowd. The team just isn't good enough to match the crowd.
No.
They're just not.
No, and you
Kay didn't play the best.
Kay was okay. Hardaway was exceptional with the early threes, but you got nothing out of Beasley.
That's
you got next to nothing out of Durin for three of the four quarters. Fouls are a problem. Nothing out of Tobias. It can't happen. Everyone has to pitch in if this team's going to get anywhere. And look, it reinforces what you and even Kenny. I have just
even
said.
Kenny.
Look, even Kenny. It reinforces. You've got to go all in this summer to get a star. You got to get someone here with Cade, because when it's the fourth quarter and you got to close people out, Assur Thompson ain't there to help you. You know, Jalen Durin, who I hate to break it to caller Lewis from 2 weeks ago, not a top five center. Like, you need someone to rely on. And Malik Beasley, if you want to keep him, you keep him. Not a star, not a frontline guy. That's another guy that's struggling in the big moments. Why? Because you're not a frontline guy.
Correct. Because I love, and I absolutely love what Dennis Schroeder has brought to this team. Love it. But I don't need to rely on him in a game 2 to hit the game-winning shot. I don't need that anymore. I need someone else there. If it's not going to be Cade, it needs to be someone else, not Dennis Schroeder.
Right, because here's what happens. When you have a big two, then the other players are, man, that's house money. That's when you can go out there and say, hey, even last night, Bridges dropping in 20 points. You didn't need that, but it worked for you because Cat and Jalen Brunson gave you 61 points between the two of those guys. They went out there and they performed like big-time players.
And that's the whole thing. This summer, that's mission 1, 2, and 3. But for now, yes, Sunday, get it back on the rails. Go back to New York 2-2. Let's see what happens. I'm not going to bail on you, but that was very disappointing for a multitude of reasons. 248-539-9797. Yes, we're going to get to the draft where I'm not going to repeat that I got everything right. That would be self-aggrandizing. A personal injury of any sort. Oh, come on. You got to laugh. We're having fun. All right, 9 minutes, we get to draft winners and losers, and then top of the hour, really zero in on the Lions, what they did, why I at least liked it, but whatever. We'll have a conversation. What we're not going to do is try to predict who they're taking in the third round. That's just a fool's errand. David, ticket text, though, I know I've got to catch up on those. What do people have to say?
Mike hit the nail on the head. The Knicks have more dudes. Still think we have a good shot to tie the series on Sunday. Ultimately, though, I think the Knicks take the series. Series to show that Cade needs a Robin.
Yeah, and again, this is the problem in this town. No one's good enough to come here. I say Devin Booker, people nope. say he's not good enough. I say Lauri Markkanen, he's not good enough. I say, fine, you want a low price option? Because he's probably pennies on the dollar. Zion Williamson, oh, he's fat, bro. Okay.
And you got to pay that big contract, yes.
Right, so you know what? Here's who you should go and get. Zero BS. Irvin Magic Johnson. What do you think? 248. So, like, that's my whole point. The perfect player doesn't exist. But you need, if you give Cade.
No, but he's pro Lakers, so he wouldn't work here.
If you give Cade that type of help, you immediately enter the conversation of challenging for the Eastern Conference. The Celtics cannot stay together. They can't. I don't think Cleveland's real. I think they're having a magical season. The Knicks are the Knicks. The Bucks are probably losing Giannis. You want me to keep going? Your opportunity starts next year, this summer. I know what's going to happen. We're going to have these battle shows. People are like, I don't want him. Well, who do you want?
Well, just give Ron Holland some more time on the floor.
He's going to need 3 years, Rico. And you know I like
him.
Okay,
here's the thing, Mike. I'm being facetious. I agree with you because nothing is ever good enough. I'm with you. You'll say a name and immediately get shut down. It's not just Pistons. It's any sport.
Like
the second you say, oh, they should go get it. Oh, that guy? Oh, he stinks.
If you got a Zion Williamson, for as many flaws as he has, I argue from day one he never wanted to be in New Orleans. You saw draft night when he had the white suit on, the whole bit. He looked like his life ended. It's a disastrous organization. Now, you have a culture here, true or false? You believe you got a culture?
Yeah.
Okay. You think you're going to roll in that locker room eating ho-hos? Malik Beasley will break his jaw. You get him up here, your career's on the line, and here's what we need. You get to play with Cade Cunningham. Can you imagine Zion at the four? That's 27-7-5.
No.
And that's a downhill player that in the fourth quarter, you're going to get to the line, and then you don't call me crying about officiating. And then you'll have a foul hunter.
The only thing about Zion, how much, and the durability factor.
Yeah, I think you approach him like the Celtics have approached Porzingis. You're going to load manage him. No, I'm not saying hard minute restriction. Yeah, here's the other news story. Get in shape. And that's part of his deal, by the way. That deal can get voided this summer. Right. So I'm making a point.
So I guess he's made weight as of late. Because I made that point when you were on vacation. And I guess, David, he's made.
Yeah, that's a clause. But as of January, that's the last update I saw. He's been hitting it. So
look, I think
that we have to weigh him during the season.
Problematic. But if you get him into a winning culture, what would it look like? Guys, I don't have the answer. The point is, Rasheed Wallace wasn't a perfect player when you got him. That's reality. The going-to-work Pistons were all throwaway parts.
Oh, they were the island of misfit toys.
Billups was already on his third or fourth team. Rip Hamilton got made fun of by Michael Jordan. Ben Wallace was the guy you took because you wanted John Amici, and the Magic said no.
No, Amici had a no-trade clause and said, I'm not going to Detroit.
And then you got Rasheed Wallace, who was a problem child.
And Tayshaun was a four-year player at Kentucky, so apparently he was no good, because if he was any good, he would have came out after year one.
Flawed players can work.
Yeah.
David, go ahead.
In the playoffs, actual talent matters. We need a second star and the two athletes to just get better, more experience.
Yeah, here's the thing. If you're trying to make a trade this summer, I really find it hard to believe you'll be able to make one without giving up one of Assur or Holland. You're giving one of them up if you want to get anyone of consequence. Like a Lauri Markkanen deal, the centerpiece of it would be an Assur Thompson, two first-round picks plus.
Ivy?
Yeah, like Ivy, Assur, two first-rounders. That now, again, you don't have to say yes, but if I'm the Jazz, that's what I'm asking for. And that's the – Kenny, isn't that the art of the deal?
Great deal. What a deal.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Yes, I agree. That is the art of the deal.
I'm going to have to designate whether I'm asking for Kenny or Kenny Trump.
KT?
Please don't say Kenny Trump again. I don't want to get people
how about
upset.
KT? No.
David. Okay.
How big, Kenny?
No, stop.
Someone asked, Scott in the South Lion asked, where was Tobias Harris last night? Just scored 8 points and we win and just dumb turnovers. Couldn't believe what I was seeing.
That was the Philadelphia version of Tobias. He had given you two really nice performances the first two games, and in game three, it was why he got chased out of Philly.
Mike Enrico, can you do me a favor? Can you check the back of your milk carton and see if Malik Beasley is on there? That is from Quentin.
Look, there's a big difference hitting shots in January and February, and then in late April. Yeah. And he's struggling right now.
2 of 10 last night from the three-point line.
After being 1 of 8 in game two.
But hey, you know. He was hyping up the crowd.
Now, look, I like him. I don't have a problem. You want him on your team as a sixth man. You want to have him as a shooter and a defender. I'm fine with all of it. Better be careful the contract you signed him to. But now, if you can add a star, that takes the pressure off a guy like Malik.
Yes, now he becomes extra. So when he has a bad game, your stars, I got you. Don't worry about today.
This is Mike from Washington Township. I blame last night's game 100% on Cade, nor... ignore the final numbers. It looked from the opening tip like he was throwing the game.
Okay, yeah, we've reached Planet of the Absurd. Let's go to Brett, 97.1. Brett, what's going on, buddy?
Guys, I think our answer for our Robin was actually in the arena last night.
Mm.
And I think it's Dave Bing.
Yeah, exactly. There, you know what? Haywood in his prime as well.
You know what? Brett, you would have to bring his jersey back down, and that's not good enough, so...
That's true. Yep, I hear you. Okay, so last night broke me, completely broke me. So I'm a diehard Piston fan, but I'm not going to lie. Football is that's the main sport for me. So sure. When it comes to hockey, basketball, baseball, I know about the Detroit teams. Outside of that, you know, I just know the Stars, and that's pretty much it. So here's what I'm thinking. I was broken last night, but also I was hopeful. Because here's the one thing about the Knicks, and you've said it before, they're all go. They have one of the worst benches in the entire league. Mm-hmm. So they're go, go, go. And we did come up just short. And it is true, exactly what you guys were saying. We are missing that piece. And you know what? Up until this point, I've been kind of that guy just hopefully just thinking, you know what? We got that team. If we can win the first series, that's good. You know, I don't see us being the Celtics or the Cavs, you know. If we can have some sort of Miracle Tigers playoff run, you know, of course, I'm going to love it. We're all going to love it. But we need somebody, and we might not make it out of the first round, guys, and it's going to be okay. Because we're 100%. Looking good.
Listen, this and is I'm still thinking, one of the great turnarounds in the history of this city. Mm-hmm. It's one of the 10 biggest turnarounds in NBA history. Brett, there's no scenario, anything that takes place, I'm going to be negative about. All we were doing is pointing out that when people want to fight us for this viewpoint of, hey, this summer – need to make a splash. Last night is why? Because they're that close from being a force in the East. They are.
So I'm that guy who wants to keep his players. I'm very much like, I know how you feel about re-signing Kirby Joseph and all that. And I'm just like, I love my guys. So when it comes to the Pistons, I know. But I got very real last night. And you know what? There were several Pistons I said we can't part ways with. But after last night... if we can get Devin Booker, you know what? And the man bleeds Detroit. Please, he's a star. Get him here. But I don't really know what Phoenix needs outside of him and Durant. I'm thinking originally during the season, I said you can't get rid of Oscar Thompson, and you can't get rid of Jalen Duren. You know what? If they got to go, they got to go. All I need here is I need Cade. I need Sass. I need Ron Holland, and I would love to keep Jaden Ivey, and if possible, Beasley. Everyone else, honestly, can go with first-round picks, ship the rest of them off. I love what they've done here, but we need Booker.
I'd love it.
Is that out of the question?
No, I don't. Look, I don't think anything's out of the question in the NBA. And, Brett, listen, some people will tell you, I don't think Booker's going to hold up. His body will betray him. I lean more towards let's get a stretch four. You know, I would re-explore a trade for Cam Johnson. I know that's not a star, but Cam is definitely better than anything else you have.
He's a really good role player.
Right. Lauri Markkanen, I'm looking at that. And, yeah, I'm looking at Zion. Because when you put a power forward out there that is going to draw defenders away from the basket, it will make Durant more effective around the rim, on the glass. Look, I can't flip the whole roster. But if I can get a four out there that can really shoot the rock, that I can run isolation set for, like with Zion, you could run clear outs. Mm-hmm. You could take Cade off the ball, have Zion at the top of the key, and he goes downhill all fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. All jokes aside about him blowing a sneaker or weighing 800 pounds. You've got to, look, if it's Lauri Markkanen, it looks different. That's more two-man game, pick and roll, pick and pop, just dead-eye shooter. Mm-hmm. You got to have something. Hey, if you want to create a super backcourt, not mad at that either. But I'm leaning more towards the fours.
But yeah, Cade and Markkanen on that pick him. Yeah, that would be something. And then I'm just thinking like Cade, like especially in the game one and two, where he was coming off the screens and making his baskets. Like, yeah, look at the shooting, you had another option.
You'd have Cade, you'd have Markkanen, you'd have Beasley, you'd have Hardaway Jr. Yeah, like you would have shooters everywhere. That can make up for the fact that Durin can't score with two hands and a flashlight. But again, those are the moves that this summer I'm going to be pumped up, and I hope they explore. I do, because I think the team is close.
Who makes the moves first? Pistons, Wings. 248.
Well, how about this? Somebody want to wake Stevie out of his coma? Where's the end-of-season press conference? At the world headquarters. Where is it?
Dude, I've been pissed about that now, too, because we've heard from the coach, we've heard from the captain, we've heard from a lot of guys, we've heard from a lot of guys.
Was he at the game last night? Were you sitting with him?
I did not see Steve there, no.
No, seriously, where is he to answer for this year's malfeasance?
Usually it's day after season ends is when you hear from Steve, and that's been the case for the past several years. We got crickets. I don't know. I can't answer. I can't speak to it.
Probably be impromptu 5 o'clock.
That actually would make sense. A news dump right about 5:30.
And only the beat writers invited.
That's right.
Beat writers invited, knowing that you're covering the Pistons and the Lions. So, yes.
Yeah, no hard questions allowed. No questions.
All right.
So three people will be there.